Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Thursday, October 16th, 2025 meeting of the Shoreline Planning Commission. First up is roll call.
Vice Chair Mosier.
Here.
Commissioner Povic.
Here.
Commissioner Cabe.
Here.
Commissioner Frye.
Here.
Commissioner Hadley.
Here.
Commissioner Lynn.
Here.
And Chair Brinson is absent with notice.
Thank you, Haley. Brings us to the next one, approval of agenda. Any changes, addendums? Nope, okay. How about approval of our minutes from the last meeting, October 2nd? Any comments, revisions? Nope, excellent. That brings us to public comment. And for tonight, this will be public comment not pertaining to any of the public hearing elements. Do we have any general public comment?
We have no general comments.
Excellent. All right, that brings us to our main items tonight then, which is the two public hearings. For one for a comprehensive plan docket amendments and another for development code amendments. So with that being said, public comments, or excuse me, are the, oh my goodness. when we have public comments, they will come after the presentation and after we ask any initial questions. And each person testifying will be given 3 minutes to speak. The purpose of our public hearing is for the staff to present a report, give the commission an opportunity to talk about the report, take public testimony, and then we will discuss and be making a recommendation for the city council. Okay. So with that, I will open the first part of our public hearing, which is the final 2025 comprehensive plan docket amendments, specifically amendments number one and number two.
Yes, thank you, Steve Safran, senior planner with the city. So just to remind the commission, this is the third or fourth time you've touched this. So we brought the draft docket to you early in the year, where you made a recommendation on that draft docket to council. We brought back the two amendments that we worked on for the final docket review in August. Staff reviewed and is recommending that the three items that we didn't get to on the docket be carried over to the 2026 docket. And then after this meeting, the final docket is proposed to be adopted by council in November and December of this year. So again, this year's docket, items number one and two, are the items that staff worked on. Amendment one was to remove the bike level of traffic stress table and corresponding language from the transportation element of the comprehensive plan. And this table is just simply being removed from the comprehensive plan since it exists in the city's engineering development manual, which is easier to update if any changes need to be made to it. Amendment number two, this was to revise the countywide center's boundary. The map on your screen is what was approved in the 2025 comprehensive docket. The proposal is to have new boundaries for the 148th and 185th station, and then to also designate town center and Shoreline Place as future countywide centers as staff looks at that. From your staff report, you can see staff is recommending the commission recommend approval of amendments number one and two to the city council. And that's our report. We're here for any questions.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone have any initial questions? No? Haley, do we have anybody signed up for public comment on this portion?
We have no one signed up for public testimony. However, we did have one written comment that was on the agenda.
Excellent, thank you. That brings us to, I guess, follow-up discussion, or if anyone wants to make a motion.
I move to recommend approval of the final 2025 comprehensive plan docket amendment one and amendment two in attachments A through G of the staff report to the city council.
Excellent. Any seconds?
I second.
Thank you. Would anyone like to explain any of their feelings, positive, negative, why they're recommending it? No. I will. I think it's good. I'm glad we're moving the level of LTS. The acronym was not flowing off my mouth. I'm glad we're taking out the transportation element, which is really hard for us to do it, and also duplication of what we already have. And I think that we've already talked about the countywide centers quite a bit, so I think it's good to clean them up. Thank you. Anyone else? Nope. I guess we'll take a vote. Haley, could you do a roll vote?
Commissioner Cabe.
Yes.
Commissioner Hadley.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mosier.
Yes.
Commissioner Fry.
Yes.
Commissioner Lynn.
Yes.
And Commissioner Povic.
Yes.
Thank you, Haley. With that, the amendments are approved for recommendation to the City Council. So I will close the first public hearing and move us to our second public hearing tonight, which is the Development Code Amendments, the 2025 Miscellaneous Batch Amendments.
Great. Steve Saffron again. Batch Development Code Amendments. So what we'll do is go through the proposed Development Code changes. Actually, in this presentation, we'll just focus on the policy amendments. The administrative and clarifying ones are pretty self-explanatory. We're here for any clarifying questions, public comment, and then again make a recommendation to City Council. Again, this batch contains amendments to the definition section, procedures, administration, uses, and the general development standards. And then kind of to save space and time, they were batched together. The amendments shown on the screen are policy amendments related to co-living housing. This will update a lot of definitions, definition section, those sections as you see on your screen. It also amends some of our use tables, changing names and then adding, you know, the use of co-living, and then also adding the criteria to for co-living when it does show up in the city. Moving on, the next topic is temporary uses. This would be to revise the requirements for temporary uses based on kind of these things, events that are coming up in the future, World Cup kind of selling wares throughout the city. And so kind of making it easier for people to kind of have a pop-up businesses in our commercial zones under that temporary use criteria. The next two amendments have to do with townhomes, specifically not allowing townhomes within our neighborhood business commercial zone. So this language shown on your screen would delete townhomes as one of those, the purpose of the neighborhood business zone, also getting rid of that use, single family attached in the neighborhood business zone. More of a justification is shown in your staff report, but basically the city doesn't have a whole lot of commercial only zones, and in an effort to save that space for our commercial retail type uses, staff is proposing that the townhomes not be allowed within those zones. The next topics have to do with temporary uses, specifically temporary construction facilities and temporary real estate offices. So this would add those two uses within the use tables for when these bigger developments come in, they want to have a model home, something like that, construction trailers, that this would be allowed, you know, with these criteria, and it would kind of allow that through the duration of the building project. Whereas our code is silent on that now. 2042-20, this would add some criteria for adult use facilities being allowed in the mixed business zones. Does not include any sort of performance type uses, more retail. This is kind of clarifying that where you can do those adult uses and you can't. Policy for columbariums. Our code was currently silent on that. You could have one associated with a church but not a cemetery, so this is kind of allowing that use since the two kind of go well together. 2043-20, this is allowing those early learning type uses within daycare facilities. The code has things like preschools, elementary, but the early learning part was not really explicit in the code, so this would allow those uses in the NR3 and R2 zones, which is typically where our public and private schools are located. So this is kind of making this an accessory, early learning facilities as an accessory use within the NR2 and NR3 zones. The next topic is minimum density. You probably saw some comments come in about this. This would be to strike the requirement for minimum density in the NR2 and NR3 zones. And this is kind of, we had minimum density in the R4 and R6 zones before we updated the zoning code. Typically the same type of requirement though. I don't know of an instance where staff actually enforce that. We don't enforce it now. So as moving forward, we're proposing that that minimum density be struck from the NR2 and NR3 zones. The next topic would be setbacks, and this is kind of just adding a footnote to the residential dimensional table is to allow modifications for setback variations to the garage or a carport, especially now that we've gotten rid of parking minimums. Maybe we should be more flexible about setbacks for garages and things like that. The next topic would be fenestration, specifically building design standards. This would be to allow those current structures to not meet the full fenestration standards if you're just updating a current structure, as is kind of encouraged within the zoning code to keep the existing and add on new. And this new structure would have to meet fenestration, but those existing may not. Another policy amendment, and this was a privately initiated amendment, I believe from the Shoreline Chamber of Commerce, was to get rid of the threshold for required site improvements when a residential structure gets converted to a commercial structure. So what this would do is get rid of the full site improvements, which would be landscaping, signage, lighting, things like that. Those requirements would go away if a single family home is being converted to a commercial use. Used to be parking also, but we don't have parking anymore, so don't have to worry, that took care of itself. Again, residential to commercial conversion, and this is also adding co-living within that section. And I believe this is the last amendment would be to the building design. So this would allow a vinyl coated chain link, where we didn't allow any sort of chain link before within our commercial zones. So something that looks nicer, untreated chain link would still not be allowed if you can see it from public view, but allowing more of a decorative chain link fence within our commercial zones. So again, when staff goes through and analyzes these amendments, make sure that it's consistent with the comprehensive plan policies that were recently adopted. So we've done that with land use policies in the land use element, community development, housing and economic development. None of the amendments are contrary to those. So based on that, I don't have a recommendation slide, but we are recommending everything in the packet be recommended for approval to the City Council, and Council is scheduled to discuss this November 10th with action December 1st. And any questions you have, we're here. I do have all the amendments on separate slides in case you want to see one. All of its detailed glory, I have it, so let me know.
Thank you, Steve. Any initial questions from the commission? No? Okay. Not surprising, so we just talked about this 2 weeks ago. I guess that'll bring us to public testimony then. Haley, do we have any public comments for this?
We have no one signed up for public testimony. However, we did receive 15 written comments, which were on the agenda.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So that brings us to any further discussion or motion to recommend. Does anyone want to make a motion or have any discussion points?
I move to recommend the approval of the Development Code Amendment 2025 Miscellaneous Batch Amendments in Attachment A of the staff report to the City Council.
Thank you. And a second?
Second.
Carla, did we miss a comment? Public comment? Okay. I'm okay receiving a comment if everyone else.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Just reverse that. Let's go back to public comment.
And this is on the amendments. Bob Verklist, 19204 12th Avenue Northwest. Bob Verklist, 12th Avenue Northwest, 19204. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. I just had talking to some of the neighbors and looking at some of the developments here. I just wanted to. Be good for the neighborhood if we understood the due process that was enacted to vet some of these different things out. There are some very serious and critical issues that have caused quite a bit of concern for the neighborhood regarding, you know, when it starts off, well, like we're trying to do some of these, this new land use planning, and we're trying to present affordable housing for people of all incomes in all areas of the city. It's kind of a broad brush approach. Yet, there seems to be some discretion in how that's applied. You know, for example, you're going to not allow single-family residences in commercial zones or townhomes. It goes that way. But at the same time, in the single-family residential area that people dream and work their entire life to get a home in a single-family residential area with the school that has parking, for they can take their kids to the games and for the medical appointments and things of this nature, to have those be uprooted, and all of a sudden you can have a 15-unit apartment house or a multiple dwelling place, a lot of different outbuildings, just plop in next to you with no recourse whatsoever. That destroys the integrity of the housing unit, and it rips apart the American dream that people have gone through, and it seems to be just a broad brush approach. And just to say that, well, we're close to a light rail station, and you know, but you know, it's 2.5 miles, whatever it may be. A lot of those codes are written for people in wheelchairs or something. They're not going to make that down with the hills and the way our streets are with no sidewalks and most of those things. So that code is a bit flawed. But back to the point, the key things we still have, we'd like to see more vetting of it. And just before the thing gets locked down is the parking requirements, and then this minimum density requirement, where it just says if a developer comes into one of these areas, they have to put a minimum of 6 units or more in. That I think is kind of a sticking point. You know, why can't they put 2 houses on a big lot? Why can't they put 1 house and a big? If a person's got it, let the market dictate it versus being forced the other way, because as people have said, a lot of times you'll find a place with 15 units on a lot, they're going to sell for as much as a house. You're not really making anything more affordable. Then at the same time, oh, there's no parking. So now we've got to rip the street up. Now we don't have the right plumbing. We don't have the infrastructure that fits. It's going to clog up. We don't have the right throughput for our streets, for the traffic lights, for the bus service. It just seems to start crumbling apart. So it just seems to be too much of a broad brushed approach, where we're just applying one blanket rule across all the neighborhoods. So that's the thing I just wanted to point out. I don't really know what the answer is. We'd just like to see maybe if there's some more due diligence that we have not seen. Our impression is that we have not seen that on how these codes are applied in our residential areas. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So we talk testimony back to our any follow-up discussion and or motion again.
I move to recommend approval of the Development Code Amendment 2025 Miscellaneous Batch Amendments in Attachment A of the staff report to the City Council.
A second?
Second.
Thank you. Would anybody like to talk about why they want to recommend these?
There's obviously a lot of backing from the public for no minimum densities in the NR2 and NR3 zones, so I'm glad that those are being aligned with what sounds like was already happening anyway.
Anybody else? I agree. I think the minimum density, I'm glad we're getting rid of it. I mean, it's still, I think there's been some maybe misunderstanding. The minimum density did not necessarily require 6 units on every lot. I think it's also important to remember HB 1110, which is from state legislature, also told us we had to do this in a lot of instances. So it may seem broad brushed, but it was a state mandate and a long process last year and the year before in the comprehensive plan that led up to that. But I'm glad we're getting rid of the minimum density. That seems kind of silly. And I also appreciate that we did incorporate the Chamber of Commerce's requests to, along with that kind of neighborhood commercial, that we added in that comprehensive plan to kind of help facilitate that. So I'm supportive of that. Any other comments, feelings? No. That'll bring us to a vote then. Haley, can you please conduct the vote?
Commissioner Povic.
Yes.
Commissioner Lynn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fry.
Yes.
Commissioner Cabe.
Yes.
Commissioner Hadley.
Yes.
And Vice Chair Mosier.
Yes. With that, the recommendation has passed unanimously. And we will now close the second part of our public hearing this evening. Thank you, Steve and Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on our agenda then is unfinished business. Any unfinished business we haven't talked about yet? Nope. How about new business? Reports or announcements? Nope. We're just tracking along. Andrew, how about agenda for our next meeting, November 6th?
November 6th is the Critical Areas Code Development Amendments public hearing.
Excellent. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our agenda tonight, and so we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.